Welcome to worship with Lutheran Church of the Cross, and I would say Trinity Lutheran and Whitehorse, as we gather on this February 13th, the sixth Sunday after Epiphany. Several folks saw Jenny's video when she participated last week in the service and wondered who she was. So I'm going to introduce, this is Jenny Randolph, and she'll be the assisting minister today. And she is beginning her journey toward ordination in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And so we're giving, allowing her to develop her ability to lead worship by participating here when she's able to. As we gather here today, we gather on the land known as Mokensis, where the Bow River meets the Elbow River. This is the traditional territory of the Nitsitapi people, or Blackfoot people, who make up the peoples of the Treaty 7 region in southern Alberta. We acknowledge these nations who make their home on this land, including the Siksika, Piikani, Kainai, Tsuut'ina, and Ndiaye, and the Nakota people, which includes the Chiniki, Bearspaw, and Wesley First Nations. The city of Calgary is also home to the Métis Nation of Alberta, Region 3. For thousands of years, people have gathered on this land to tell stories, sing songs, share ideas, and build community. And so in the spirit of generosity and welcome, and to honor those who have lived here for many millennia, we also gather on this land to tell stories, sing songs, share ideas, and build community. Let us prepare for worship with a musical prelude. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose voice is upon the waters, whose mercy is poured out upon all people, and whose goodness cascades over all creation. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let us confess our sin, trusting in the abundance, in the abundant grace of God. Holy God, you search us and know us. You are acquainted with all our ways. We confess that our hearts are burdened by sin, our own sins, and the broken systems that bind us. We turn inward, failing to follow your outward way of life. We distrust those who are not like us. We exploit the earth and its resources and fail to consider generations to come. Forgive us, gracious God, for all we have done and left undone. Even before the words are on our tongues, you know them. Receive them in your divine mercy. Amen. How vast is God's grace! Through the power and promise of Christ Jesus, our sins are washed away, and we are claimed as God's own beloved. Indeed, we are forgiven. In the wake of God's forgiveness, we are called to be the beloved community, living out Christ's justice and the Spirit's reconciling peace. Amen. Amen.
voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, O weary one, lay down your head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, so weary, worn, and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I heard the voice of Jesus say, behold, I freely give. The living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, your morn shall rise, and all your day be bright. To Jesus, and I found in him my star, my sun. And in that light of life I'll walk till traveling days are done.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
On earth. Glory to God. Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. We
Everlasting God, you give strength to the weak and power to the faint. Make us agents of your healing and wholeness, that your good news may be made known to the ends of your creation, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen.
40, 21 to 31. Did you not know? Have you not heard? Was it not told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the world was founded? God sits above the vaulted roof of the world, and its inhabitants look like grasshoppers. God stretches out the skies like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent for mortals to live under. God reduces the privileged to nothing and throws the rulers of the earth into chaos. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root on earth than God bows on them and they wither, and the storm wind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom can you liken me? Who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and ask yourself, who made these stars? If not the one who drills them like an army, calling each by name. Because God is so great in strength, so mighty in power, not a single one is missing. How can you say, tribe of Leah and Rachel and Jacob, my destiny is hidden from the Lord, my rights are ignored by God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. This God does not faint or grow weary, with a depth of understanding that is unsearchable. God gives strength to the weary and empowers the powerless. Young women may grow tired and weary. Young men may stumble and fall. But those who wait on the Lord find a renewed power. They soar on eagle's wings. They run and don't get weary. They walk and never tire. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 147, verses 1 to 11. Hallelujah! How good it is to praise our God! How pleasant and how fitting to sing God's praise! The Lord rebuilds Jerusalem and gathers Israel's exiles. God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. God knows the number of the stars and calls each one by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. There is no limit to God's wisdom. The Lord lifts up the oppressed and casts the corrupt to the ground. Sing to our God with thanksgiving. Sing praise with the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who provides rain for the earth, who makes grass sprout on the mountains and herbs for the service of the people, who gives food to the cattle and to the young ravens when they cry. God does not thrill to the strength of the horse or revel in the fleetness of humans. The Lord delights in those who worship with reverence and put their hopes in divine love. Alleluia.
Spirit.
and spirit, in God's image born to be. Sing, rejoice in life most sacred.
The second reading comes from Acts 2:37-42. When they heard this, they were deeply shaken. They asked Peter and the other disciples, "What are we to do?" Peter replied, "You must repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, and your sins may be forgiven. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It was to you and your children that the promise was made, and to all those still far off, whom our God calls." In support of his testimony, Peter used many other arguments and kept saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." They were convinced by his arguments, and they accepted what he said and were baptized. That very day, about 3,000 were added to their number of those converted. They devoted themselves to the apostles' instructions and the communal life, to the breaking of bread and of the prayers. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel today is from Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 38. Glory to you, O Lord. On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and his family. Simon's mother-in-law was in the grip of a high fever, and they asked him to help her. Jesus stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left. She got up immediately and went about her work. At sunset, all who had people sick with a variety of diseases brought them to Jesus, and he laid hands on each and cured them. Demons departed from many, crying out as they did so, "You are the firstborn of God." Jesus rebuked them and forbade them to speak, for they knew who the Messiah was. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O God, my rock and redeemer. Amen. This year we're reading through the Gospel of Luke accompanied with texts from Acts to help us kind of illuminate or help illuminate how the Holy Spirit was at work amongst the early church and I would say also in the life of Jesus. And it's kind of asking the question, what is this Holy Spirit? What does it do? And so we know that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, that we have that account from the baptism of Jesus where the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And we also know that he promised that the power from on high, which is the Holy Spirit, would be given to the disciples, and they were to wait for it. And so I think it's appropriate then when we talk about what does the Spirit do, also in essence say and ask the question, what does the Spirit do through Jesus? What is that power of God that Jesus was and used? What did it do? And in today's reading, we have the account of how it healed people and it cast out demons. This is the kind of the end of the story that began last week, where we have Jesus, he's teaching in the synagogue there in Capernaum, and there's a man with a demon, there's an unclean demon, and he casts it out. Well, then he crosses the street where Simon Peter, where Peter's house is, and there we pick up and he heals Peter's mother-in-law. Now, and it says that evening, everybody started coming. Well, it's because he was preaching and teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath. And so it was not allowed to work on the Sabbath, so people couldn't go home and bring their people back on the Sabbath. They had to wait till the end of the Sabbath, which was sundown. And so that's what the people did. When they saw the power manifested in Jesus and how a man was brought back to his right mind, they said, this is someone who has the power of God. And so they went home and brought the sick, everybody that they knew, and word spread, and not only the sick, but those, it says, with demons, unclean spirits, people that weren't in their right minds. And they were healed, and the demons were cast out. It's almost like Jesus was God's health care for the people wherever he was. Where he was, people's bodies were made whole. People's minds were made whole. And so I think we can point to it and say then one of the things that when the Spirit is at work, wholeness is happening. God is creating wholeness. That's kind of it's a little different word than health, but it comes from the same root. To be healed is to be made whole. And so one of the things that God's Spirit does is create wholeness. And it says many. We don't know how many. Tens, hundreds, a lot of people came. And I'm left with the question, what did they do after they were healed? And the text doesn't tell us. It doesn't say they all became disciples and followed him. And it's pretty clear that there wasn't a huge entourage of people that were following Jesus. But we know in subsequent verses that there were people that kept showing up to hear his teaching and to bring the sick and to be healed. But in the Acts reading, we have another account of kind of the power of God at work. Again, it's from the second chapter of Acts. And it begins with the outpouring of the Spirit at Pentecost. And then everybody around kind of seeing all these manifestations of the Spirit and wondering what's going on. And then Peter just, through the power of the Spirit, it says, kind of preaches to them. And so they're left with, well, what are we supposed to do? And it says that, well, what's the number? 3,000? Yeah, about 3,000 people that day were baptized and added. But when they ask the question, what are we to do? This is what Peter tells them. Save yourselves from this scoliosis generation. You're going, wait, that's not what he read before. You're right. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. But the Greek word there is the same word that we get scoliosis from. Scoliosis is a bending or a curving of the spine. Peter's saying you're living in a scoliosis generation. You're living in a way of life that's not trued up. It's not the way God intended it to be. And the society is not the way God intended it to be. And so he says, repent. Acknowledge that. And then allow and convert and believe in the power of this Holy Spirit that's being made manifest. And in the name of Jesus Christ, whom they had just witnessed, many of them had witnessed being crucified not a few weeks before. And then it says, because I kind of left you the question, well, what happens after people experience this? Well, they were baptized. And then it says, they devoted, which means steadfastly continued, themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And that outpouring of the Spirit, where that Spirit was present, There's a couple of things that happened. One, I think, is this wasn't so much about healings from body and mind, but it was about healing the relationship with God. It's one clear perspective that the people had wandered away. The society, and these would have been almost all Jews, had kind of wandered away from God's intent for how they were to live. And so by repenting and allowing the power of the Spirit to forgive them, the relationship with God was healed. And then what it brought forth too was then the Spirit started filling them. And what did it do? It had them gather together and create this community where they were focused on what God was up to and the teachings and breaking bread together and praying. And the word that's used to describe this fellowship is koinonia. That's a Greek word, and for those of you that remember 8 years ago when we first started here, we kind of invited people to identify the activities and groups and things they would like to have happen, and there were groups that formed, and initially I called them koinonia, and the feedback was, wait, we don't know what that means. And it comes from this passage. And it's kind of hard to describe. Fellowship is a beginning. It's like a community, but it's more than that. And it certainly relates to the shalom that is referred to in the Old Testament. Quite often we talk about shalom being the peace of God, but it really is, it's this peace that comes from the well-being of the person, the well-being of the community. And so koinonia is not shalom is not a bad word to line up with koinonia. The sense of kind of the fullness of God's desire for human life together is realized in that place and in that time, in that moment sometimes. For those of you from a German background, Gemütlichkeit is in the ballpark of koinonia. Whenever I try to explain what Gemütlichkeit is, it's fun to sing it out loud when you're drinking beer and stuff. But it's a sense of the good life. But it's so much more than that. It's like, this is how life should be. And that is that's the other thing that the Spirit did. It healed the relationship with God, and then it manifested as these people were open to the movement of the Spirit. They gathered around the Word. They gathered together in prayer and in Scripture and in communion. And it was koinonia, this true community, this loving community, this life-giving community. A couple of years ago, I had the opportunity actually to meet Fethullah Gulen, who's the leader of the Hizmet movement. These are, if none of those words mean anything to you, they're the Turkish friends that we've gotten to know. And in our conversations, one of the things, the images they talked about is being about islands of peace. That part of what they're called to do as a Hizmet movement is to create islands of peace around the world. And as I was thinking about koinonia and kind of that community that was formed by those early Christians just after the outpouring of the Spirit, it's like there was this island of wholeness. There's this island of peace, of love that was formed. And so this metaphor of being an island of peace, they say, but I would say an island of wholeness, is one of the hopes and prayers that I have for this congregation. This koinonia, this place where we gather, I think many of you have experienced that here. It's like, the Spirit is here. It's alive, and this is how it should be. But this idea of being an island of wholeness, certainly, I think it's something we aspire to, and when we allow the Spirit to work, it shows up here. But also, we can do that individually. As we head out into our lives, we can be islands of wholeness, islands of love, islands of peace, islands of patience, wherever we go, and whenever we meet somebody, we can be an island of peace for them. And this can be really small. It may just be recognizing that, or choosing in the moment to give somebody the benefit of the doubt. It may be choosing to just trust that their people's intentions are good, and if they're doing something that seems hurtful, that that's not their intention. It may look like when you're in a grumpy mood and pulled into Tim's, you decide to, despite your grumpiness, to pay for the person's coffee or tea behind you. It's this allowing of the Spirit to manifest itself in ways and in our relationships by what we say and by what we do to create peace. It may be much bigger things. It may be intentionally seeking out folks that occur as strange and different and foreign to you, and getting to know them and extending a hand of friendship. It may look like recognizing a need and being very generous and digging down deep and finding a way to give hope through monetary or other resources to people. The ways that this can manifest are endless when we nurture the Spirit, when we allow the Spirit to kind of enter into our choices and decisions, though. There's the opportunity for this to happen because the same Spirit that was with Jesus and the same Spirit that was with those early disciples, that same Spirit is with us also. As we allow God's Spirit, God's power to work through us, then we also are part of God's shalom making, gemutlichkeit making, koinonia making vision for the world. Let us pray. Oh God, sustain us with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Day, though thousand fall about you. it shall not come. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. For to the angels God's given a command to guard you of all your ways. Upon their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand.
Let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Guided by Christ, made known to the nations, let us offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need.
I am free.
For the church, for ministries of healing and wholeness, for hospital, hospice, and military chaplains, for those serving in prison ministry, for all who proclaim freedom and release in the name of Christ, let us pray.
Cradle me in your arms, cherish and comfort me. O Jesus, source of healing love, in your presence I am free.
For creation, for insects in the grass, clouds on the mountaintops, for cattle and the rainwater they drink, for the humility to take our place among all creatures of the earth, let us pray. Nations, for all who lead in cities and towns, states and countries, for community organizers, school officials, and CEOs, for international health organizations, that in times of trial, fear, or hopelessness, they find freedom in service to those most in need. Let us pray.
Cradle me in your arms, cherish and comfort me. O Jesus, source of healing love, in your presence I am free.
For all wearied by life's burdens, for those who are poor, for those lacking supportive relationships, for those crushed by debt, for those struggling with chronic pain or other sickness, for those exhausted from overwork or stress, and for all who cry out to you, especially Gemma, Gil, and Elsie, Edie, Dirk, Sheila and Jim, Marlene, Bill and Ruth, Zella, Lorne, Eric, Alan, Carol, Ellen, Raymond, Dawn, Ginny, Gloria, Victoria, Bruce, Kadir, Lise, Elliot, Jean, and Pastor Laura, and for those who mourn, the Sanders, Ion, Kirbyson, Sorensen, Craven, Rooker, Gussie, Quichilla, Tuvi, Tobler, Johansson, Manuel, Branwell Anderson, Anderson, Fuller, Kohlberg, Strachan families. Let us pray.
Cradle me in your arms, cherish and comfort me. O Jesus, source of healing love, in your presence I am free.
For this congregation, for outreach and social ministries centered here, for parish nurses and visitors, for ministries of companionship and support, for the young people in this place who open us to new understandings, let us pray.
Cradle me in your arms, cherish and comfort me. O Jesus, source of healing love, in your presence I am free.
Prayers for the Scalplock and the Goldman families as they mourn the death of Pearson and the others who lost their lives in the house fire. And the thanksgiving for the faithful departed who were called by name and now rest from their labors, that their lives serve as witness to the goodness of God. Let us pray.
Cradle me in your arms, cherish and comfort me. Source of healing love, in your presence I am free.
Merciful God, hear the prayers of your people, spoken or silent, for the sake of the one who dwells among us, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share a sign of Christ's peace with those that you're gathered with and to send peaceful thoughts to those who come to mind that are in need of that peace, that shalom, the koinonia of God. Peace be with you. This is also a good time to practice the ministry of generosity. If you haven't found the donate button on the website, I invite you to do so. Thank you. We are so hopeful that on the 27th we'll be able to gather in person and worship, but please stay tuned. It'll be so good to be able to gather here. Let us now hear a musical offering.
Strong here in this temple, we belong here in our hearts, here in our lives. Our God is here, and we cry, holy, holy, holy are you, and we cry, holy. Here in this word, God is revealed. Here where the wounded can be healed. Here in our hearts, here in our lives, our God is here. Here we become what we receive. Here in this Eucharistic feast, we are his body, living as one. Our God is here, and we cry, holy, holy, holy are you. We cry, holy, holy, holy and true. Amen, we do believe our God is here. Our God is here.
Let us pray. O God, receive these gifts as you receive us. Like a mother receives her child, with arms open wide, nourish us anew in your tender care, and empower us in faithful service to tend to others with this same love, through Jesus Christ, our saving grace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
A couple of brief announcements before we have the blessing. The Zoom prayer room will be open at 11 a.m. this morning for communion. If you'd like to join us, and then about 11:15 we'd transition to the fellowship time, and then 11:30, those who want to have some conversation about either the scripture readings or the gospel, or the sermon, you're invited to attend. A blessing. God the Creator, strengthen you. Jesus the Beloved, fill you. And the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, keep you in peace.
Amen.
Amen.
With him, and we'll rise.
guides us. By grace we will rise up with Him. For with Jesus who leads us, by grace we will rise up with Him.
Go with Christ into a weary world. Share the good news.
Thanks be to God.